This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by David Cox. David is a festival producer of the Gasparilla Music Festival. David, how's it going?
Great, Walter, great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm super excited to talk with you about this festival. I know that it is Tampa's premier music festival, and not a lot of people know about this festival. It's kind of a diamond in the rough. Can you tell me, when did the festival first get its start, and kind of what was the catalyst in starting this festival?
Well, the festival was started in 2011, so we're going into our sixth year this year. There was a lot of, I guess, sort of rejuvenation happening around the Riverwalk in downtown Tampa as far as some new parks being built. And we really thought there was a good opportunity to have a good kind of urban, can come stay in a hotel, enjoy the Riverwalk music festival venue. So that was really the main catalyst. And myself and a few other people got together. We started a nonprofit and just went to town figuring out how to put a music festival on.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. It seems like every year the festival has gotten bigger and bigger. And I know that, you know, when you initially started out, I'm almost sure that it's probably pretty arduous, you know, in terms of just getting the ball rolling and everything. But how would you say the festival has changed over the years?
Well, the first year of the festival, we went into it, and I think we had pre-sold about 500 tickets going into the first weekend. So we were obviously pretty nervous, and then we had about 5,000 people walk up. So we've grown from that, like 5,500, 6,000 attendees in the first year, to now the last couple of years we're averaging about 20,000 people over the weekend. So it's really grown considerably each year. And I think the talent level that we're able to bring in gets better each year. So it's just, it continues to grow. We haven't grown, you know, tremendously from one year to the next. We kind of just incrementally grow every year and try to make it better. Our big focus is the fan experience. So we're focused on not having too many people so that the lines get too long. We really want to keep it so it's just a great fan experience. Everything's reasonably priced. Our ticket pricing started at $30. So that's really, you know, where we came from, starting it as fans of music and music festivals. We really look at everything as like how people can get out there and have a good time.
Absolutely, absolutely. What would you say are some things that make this festival unique? I know that March starts festival season. It kicks off the festival season, and you know there are a ton of music festivals out there almost every weekend in almost every city. What are some things that make Gasparilla most unique?
I think some of the things that make us unique to a certain degree. We are early in the year. We're the beginning of March. There's been a couple other festivals pop up in March, but we typically start before the other festivals up north. So we're typically a pretty early festival in the year. As I mentioned, we're an urban festival, so everything's kind of contained in the downtown setting. So people have good access to it. And being a nonprofit is definitely different for us. We have certain things in our mission, like we program. We have four stages, but we do program throughout the weekend. About 50% of the bands that we have are local, regional. And there's just a tremendous amount of talent in Florida right now. There's a big arts movement happening here. So that's something that's different. And we don't do it just to fill spaces. We really handpick, like, the best talent that we can get to fill those spaces. We also focus a lot on our food. We have all restaurants, locally based restaurants, and we handpick the best restaurants in Tampa. These restaurants, it's the only event that they do outside of their brick-and-mortar restaurant year. They don't do catering, anything like that. So, and they each pick one dish and do one dish really well. So we just have a really hyper-local focus, at least to the offering when you're there.
Wow, that is amazing. I like how you put an emphasis on local, you know, locality, you know, because Tampa's got a lot of great things to offer, and, you know, it's definitely one of the most up-and-coming cities in the U.S., and so the fact that you guys, you know, don't shy away from that and you actually display the talent and the food and the other locality, you know, the draws of the locality there is, like, it's really, really cool. I wanted to speak with you about your nonprofit, because I know that your nonprofit is connected to this festival. Tell me a little bit about it. What is your mission, and how can people get involved with the efforts of your nonprofit?
Yeah, absolutely. Our organization is called the Gasparilla Music Foundation, and one of the primary functions is putting on the music festival, but we operate throughout the year, and a big part of our mission is providing instruments to kids in local schools. We're big believers in the power that arts and education can have on children particularly, and building a stronger community here. So we have a program, one of our main programs is called Recycled Tunes, and we collect gently used instruments in exchange for a free ticket to our festival. And we work with the local music company, we refurbish the instruments, and then we donate them to the school. So we're starting to make a good dent in the underserved schools in the Tampa Bay area. That's a big part of it. And we also have another program called GMF Productions, where, again, our focus is on local musicians, ones that are serious and want to be professional musicians. We go out and basically help them find gigs, and not traditional gigs like playing in a bar, but playing, you know, different functions or different just kind of alternative venues. And the underlying theme is to help these bands kind of you know, learn to grow and market themselves. You know, we have a policy that you know, the bands have to be paid for any gig, so there's no, you know, hey, can you do this for free? And to date, we're at, I think, 300 paying gigs so far over the last 2 years since we've launched this program for local bands.
Wow, that is amazing. That is amazing. How can our listeners get involved with the efforts of your nonprofit? Is there a way that they can sign up? Do you guys look for volunteers?
Yeah, we have all the information on our website, www.gmftampa.com. We also have we have a place where people can go to volunteer at gmfvolunteers.com, and we accept volunteers. We have about 600 volunteers each year at the festival. Our festival is predominantly volunteer-run. We have a board of directors that's all volunteers, and everybody on site at the festival is volunteers. So it's very much volunteer effort, and we have plenty of opportunities throughout the year with our instrument drives for the kids and other opportunities for people to volunteer. It's always a lot of fun. It's always a great group of people, and it's always supporting a good cause. So it's something that people really get some fulfillment out of.
Absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to ask you, now this year's festival is amazing. The lineup is great. You've got Ryan Adams, Cage the Elephant, Ghostface Killah, just to name a few. And, you know, it's a great lineup. The weather is supposed to be nice. You yourself, what are you most looking forward to this coming weekend with the festival?
Well, there's a lot to look forward to. I'm pretty excited. Saturday night with Cage the Elephant. I think that they're a band that's really on top of their game right now. So I think they're one that's just going to blow it out of the water. They recently won the 2017 Grammy for Best Rock Album a couple weeks ago. And just the energy and something about, you know, just a good straight rock and roll band headlining on Saturday night, something that's got me very excited to. I just think that the energy that night is going to be great. And that's one highlight. There's a lot in between. We kick off the festival every year with a 60-piece gospel choir, and that's something every year that you know, all the planning's been done, and you get to walk into the gates and see this huge gospel choir. It's a very inspirational thing. So I'm looking forward to getting the year kicked off with that. And we also have some sort of health and wellness things happening this year. We have a reggae. It's called Dub 10 Yoga.
Reggae
yoga cast. We're going to have probably 200 or 300 people out for that this year. And that's another thing that we kind of kick off the day with on Saturday, just to get a real good positive vibe going. And we also have a fundraiser for Recycled Teens, which is a stationary bike ride that basically the riders buy the bikes, and they're going to raise quite a bit of money for the Recycled Teens. But so we've got a lot of just new surprises. And probably the last thing that's excited for the local families in the Bay Area is our Kids Fest. And we do that each day from 12 to 2. The kids get in free, 12 and under, and the parents can always leave and take their kids home and come back to the adult festivities later. But we also have a Grammy Award winner that's going to be headlining the Kids Fest this year, a guy named Secret Agent 23 Skidoo, who just won the Grammy for Best Kids Music.
Yes, I saw that. I think that's so amazing. I wanted to chime in because, that gospel music choir that you got is also really, really cool. I thought that was something that was so unique. I mean, because mostly at a lot of contemporary music festivals, and I'm sure you can attest to this, a lot of it is, you know, indie rock, alternative rock, hip-hop, you know, and, you know, maybe, you know, unless it's something like a metal festival, you know, it's like, then you just have, like, you know, different genres just kind of scattered throughout. But it's really cool that you guys are including that gospel, you know, music, because, yeah, you can't really go wrong with gospel. It's so uplifting. It's hard, you know, for people to just say, I mean, you might not be a fan of gospel, but, I mean, you can't deny that there's, you know, some sort of power behind the music. So that's really cool that you guys have that.
Definitely, you know, and I think that kind of sums up, like, we start with that, and we end with Bryan Adams, and really there is something kind of, almost every kind of music in between. We actually have some classical music for the first time this year. We have the Tampa Metropolitan Youth Orchestra going to be performing, and, but it's not just eclectic to be eclectic. You know, I think it's sometimes difficult that when you start to delve into the timing of the sets and the lineup, there's kind of paths that you could follow. You know, if you're more into the R&B and soul, there's definitely a path throughout the day that you can kind of follow. And if you're more into the rock and the alternative rock, you know, there's kind of a path you could follow as well. Or if you're somebody that just wants to take in as much new stuff as you can, then you can just be all over the place.
Absolutely.
That's something that we definitely put a lot of effort into, kind of connecting those dots so that people have a great experience when they're there.
Most definitely. Yeah, I mean, this will be my first year attending, but I'm super excited because, there are certain music festivals that you can just look and you can tell, like, hey, this is like a big corporate-run music festival. You know, they don't really care about the people. It's just mostly about making Buku bucks, but I could really kind of tell with the lineup and just reading reviews on previous years of the festival that, you know, this is a festival that, you know, you and your staffers, you know, put a lot of work and your heart into. And so it's really going to be excited to come and to meet you guys and to see the work that you do. You work so hard to put this on, and it just looks like an amazing festival. But my question is like, for a person that's never attended the festival, such as myself, what can they expect? What would you say that they're in for?
Well, I would say, you know, first time, we kind of get the message, you know, when you walk in the gate, you've got a big sign, just kind of leave all your worries behind. And really, you know, that's what we want is, you know, people to walk in. And when you walk into the venue, that's probably one of the best, or I guess the best highlights of our festival is the venue. It's incredible. The backdrop for our stages are the minarets of the University of Tampa. And you have a 360 panoramic of modern museums, cylindrical high-rise buildings. It's really just, it's it's an incredibly like panoramic, and you just kind of dropped into the middle of it, and it's all running along the river that opens up into Tampa Bay. So, you know, I think we just want to set the tone when everybody walks through that door that you pretty much instantly get a smile on your face before you even hear the band. And from that point, you know, I can't say it enough. When I walk around throughout the festival, everybody is just smiling and having a good time. And that's the tone that we aim to set. And that's what we want people, you know, first time coming through just to say, wow, this place is amazing. And then just jump in. We've got surprises. We've got bands going a long time. We have a lot of pop-up performances where people just pop up and start playing in the crowd. All those kind of experiences, really just kind of leave everything behind and just experience as much as we can over the weekend.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tell me the name, the meaning behind the name. What does the name Gasparilla mean?
Well, Gasparilla in Tampa, it's kind of the equivalent of our Mardi Gras season. Gasparilla is actually a parade based around a pirate invasion. So every year, at the end of January, beginning of March, it's called Invasion Day, and there's a big replica pirate ship with about 1,000 pirates on it that take the key to the city and starts off with a big parade down Tampa's Bayshore Boulevard. That's about 500,000 people attend every year. So it's massive. And then after that main invasion, there's a series of other Gasparilla parades throughout February. So that's where the name Gasparilla, I think, just finished its 108th year in Tampa. So next year will be the 109th year of this invasion and this parade. And what's happened since then, March has kind of become the end of the Gasparilla season. And really more of an arts and cultural focus. So this weekend, we have the Gasparilla Arts Festival that's happening in downtown. There's also the Gasparilla Film Festival that started last week and runs through the middle of next week. So this Gasparilla is kind of almost a two-month sort of a celebration in the city of Tampa. It's all named off of a mythical pirate named Jose Gaspar. Pretty crazy.
Man, wow, I had no clue. That's really cool. Man, that is awesome. That is awesome. One of my last questions is you know, like just hearing you speak about, you know, the origin of the name Gasparilla, you know, as well as, you know, the things that you have going on with the festival, it just really, really sounds so unique, you know what I mean? And I know that Tampa is a up-and-coming, you know, city here, but what would you say, you know, because you actually surprised me with some of the things that you guys have going on, what would you say is, like, the most admirable quality of the city of Tampa, you know, including, I guess, this festival? Is there one thing that just really sticks out to you as making it unique?
Yeah, I think something about Tampa that's really unique and probably a lot of people don't associate with Florida or Tampa. Tampa's a really old city. St. Augustine would be the oldest here, but you know, Tampa was probably developed 60 years before Miami, before Orlando, the end of a trail line. So we really have this kind of old culture. I mentioned the University of Tampa. They were all built at the end of the 19th century. So there's really this kind of old, these old traditions, and a lot of them we incorporate into our festival. We have our vendors, kind of our hippie vendors area, and one of our third stage is actually an area called Tibbetts Corner that used to be main in downtown Tampa. It was just an old general store. Tampa's got a really rich kind of old history, and I think where our festival really lies is there's also this really youthful kind of new energy in Tampa, and our kind of goal is thematically trying to pull those two together and bring this kind of new youthful energy kind of with the backdrop of this old city. So that's something I think that's pretty unique, and people probably wouldn't associate with something like that very well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would definitely say so. I mean, that is
I had no idea on any of that. So that definitely puts things in perspective when, you know, you're talking about today's culture and, you know, just how it's such a fun city. You know, the festival is really just a reflection of all of that, which is really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, David, I want to thank you so much for taking time to do this interview. You know, really appreciate it. I know you've been swamped this past week, and I know that this coming week is going to be even more of a madhouse with it being festival week. But just wanted to say thanks so much for stopping by the show, and I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
No, well, thank you, Walter, for having me, and definitely look forward to seeing you next week. We're excited, and it's going to be a great event, and tickets start at $30, so anybody, you know, if anybody can get out to check it out. So we look forward to seeing you and some of your listeners out there next week.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you, Walter.
You're welcome. Guys, that was David Cox. He is a festival producer with the Gasparilla Music Festival. Stay tuned for our coverage. We will be live and on site this coming weekend with the festival. We're super excited for it. You can follow us on Twitter for live updates. We'll have pictures up there. You can kind of check out our microblog. And, of course, each day of the festival we'll have a written recap as well as audio and video interviews from the festival. If you're listening to this on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with David. Android users have no fear. We're available in the Google Play Store. Just search Google Play Music. Search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You can stream this interview. You can download it. You can subscribe, all free of charge. Lastly, we are available on Roku. If you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can download our show by just going to the Roku channel store, search for our show name. You can download the app, our app, and you can listen to over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge, right in the comfort of your own home.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.